We celebrate Memorial today to remember the men and women who gave their lives for our future. And we recall the ideals they died for, to pursue nobler principles of freedom and self-government, to uphold freedom of slavery and working toward a society that will one day free itself from the evils of racism. They gave their lives so we would have an opportunity to gather for worship and serve the God of our faith. And we remember their sacrifices to ensure safe communities where parents can send their children to learn and grow and be nurtured, and where students grow up in a just, compassionate society that values equality and opportunity and liberty for each unfolding life. They gave their lives so those who followed would have a better future. And for their sacrifice, we are thankful. And yet, today, we might do well to ponder this. Are we living up to their sacrifice? Are we committing ourselves, as they did, to upholding and strengthening the ideals that we profess? And before we point fingers, before we line up on our perspective sides of the political fence, maybe for a moment, on this solemn memorial weekend, we simply come together and acknowledge some sad truths. That we have much to grieve and probably very few simple answers. And here's what I'm asking us to do this weekend and to do this week. I'm asking us to, number one, celebrate with those who are celebrating. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12. He said, we have all kinds of graduates graduating in our community, and we're celebrating. Students who have trained for 12 years, who have engaged and learned and grown and are now moving on and transitioning into a new phase of life, that is something to certainly celebrate. And the parents who have encouraged their kids and sacrificed for them, we want to celebrate them in that phase of life. So I'm asking us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. As we do, however, we also recognize in the celebrating and the rejoicing, there's this gnawing in our gut that says things are not right. And I'm asking us not to push that aside, but acknowledge it, that we are witnessing some very disturbing and sad truths right now, and we need to take a humble position and grieve with those who are grieving. That's number two. The apostle says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. So as we celebrate graduations, as we remember sacrificing, I'm also asking us to mourn. There's much to be joyful about, certainly, and there's a lot to be sorrowful for. You know, we face worldwide fragility, a war of attrition with global powers engaging limited resources. And where's the church in this struggle? Right in the middle. The Russian Orthodox Church on one side, much of the Eastern Church on the other, and much of it calling for peace. Which comes as a reminder that Christian nationalism is not a biblical goal of the kingdom of God. No matter what country we reside in, we are one in Christ as believers, but that is not our witness in the world right now. So we grieve. We find ourselves enmeshed in global power struggles that seem clear to each side but cost so much to those who are caught in the middle. And we mourn with those who have lost family members during our watch as followers of Jesus. And how are we responding to them? We grieve with families of the 10 black people who were killed and 3 wounded in a racist attack in Buffalo. We mourn that the unbiblical conspiracy theories advancing white supremacy are not only advocated but acted upon in murderous killing of innocent people. This is a racist act in the United States. And as I listen to my colored colleagues, I'm only beginning to understand the pain of our silence as a church. How are we responding during our watch as followers of Jesus? This week I grieve with local teachers who have thought about what it would mean to be in a lockdown with an active shooter in our school. And we grieve with the 21 families of those who were killed and others wounded in the school in Texas. We mourn with the whole traumatized community as they grapple with this murderous act and what seems to be so senseless and so brutal. And it seems to me that, honestly, any gun control conversations, no matter what side we're on, they're not going to console parents in their loss this week. Maybe the right thing to do is quietly acknowledge this is a horrible tragedy and take time to mourn with those who mourn. These are systemic issues, which means there are no easy solutions. There will be time to engage in this deep and long work that the church needs to engage in, needs to speak into, but first we acknowledge and we remember and we mourn the losses. And before we suggest that the church has all the answers, let's acknowledge with humility our own brokenness. Our witness in the world isn't what it could be. Not on our watch as Jesus followers. So this summer, the largest denomination in the United States is going to hear at their annual convention a commission report that uncovers a startling pattern of pastoral abuse and cover-up at the top levels of the denomination. It seems that in trying to protect their witness in the world, the church has sacrificed the victims of abuse, the least and the most vulnerable. Again, this we all own as the church in the United States. This is what the world is now hearing about our witness. This is part of our message. How are we responding during our watch as followers of Jesus? So after hearing all this, it might be tempting to, at this point, just to give up, right? It might be tempting to throw in the towel, to pull back, to just disengage from the pain and the problems, because honestly, this seems all too difficult or too distant or simply too disturbing to get involved with. We might give up and become a church that doesn't concern itself with our witness in the world, or we can hang in there and not give up and not disengage. That's who I believe that we are. We are committing to what the patriots that we celebrate today committed to sacrificing for a better future. So we're ready to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're committed to grieve with those who grieve. We're ready to acknowledge the pain and loss, and though hard and uncertain in these disturbing times, to sacrifice for those who follow us. Because on our watch as Jesus followers, we are not ready to give up. The writer in Hebrews chapter 10, he encourages his readers through past hardships and struggles as they remain faithful. He says, don't stop. He says, patient endurance is what you need now. Let me read that again. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Hang in there, the apostle says. Hang in there. I'm going to ask you to turn to somebody beside you and ask them with you to hang in there. Just ask them to hang in there. If you're online, go ahead and type that in the comment. Somebody's watching and listening. Hang in there. Hang in there. Friday, I stopped at Casey's with two empty cans to fill up for the lawnmower. And I was told that premium is always the best for small engines, keeps them running good. It's the best to use. And so without thinking, I slipped the card into the gas pump and pumped premium, because only the best for a John Deere, right? And as I started pumping, I looked up and saw the numbers rolling, and I started to think, oh my gosh, I actually let go of the handle. It's like, whoa, can I actually do this? This is lawnmower gas. So after the sticker shock, I proceeded to fill both cans, not full, however, and when I was all done, for less than two full cans of gas, it was $44. Just then, something flashed through my mind that I had read. An economist wrote, we're just going to have to get used to inflation. We're just going to have to get used to it. You know, it seems to me crazy to pay that much for gas, but if I want to get my lawn mowed, I'm going to have to just get used to inflation. And I think to myself, hang in there, Tim. This weekend officially kicks off summer, and we're beginning this new series called Building Season. You know, in the Northland, building season is all about timing. And as we patiently wait to start a new addition, we're not waiting to build the new habits and pathways that are leading us toward the life we're called to live. Now, if you caught that, I said new patterns and habits. We're not trying to redo the things that we've already done, because to be honest, the world is different. Our ministry has changed. We're going to have to get used to that. So this summer, we're building, more than a building. It's time to reorient our mission and ministry to the new realities in our communities, and it starts with patient endurance. You see, we're committed to hang in there. So how do we, as Jesus followers, do that? How do we hang in there and influence our world? Well, we hang in there the same way we got here. The apostle writes, I rejoice that you are living as you should, that your faith in Christ is strong, and now just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue. Somebody say continue. You must continue to follow him. So if you began your journey by faith and following Jesus, then how do we hang in there? By continuing in faith and following Jesus. We're not changing our strategy from faith to something new. We're just continuing in what we already know by continuing to trust in Jesus as we walk into new realities. And here's the piece that I want us to take hold of. For the church to grow, for the church to reach more people, you have to grow. I have to grow. I have to reach more people. You have to reach more people. We have to grow. And for some of us, it's something we're just going to have to get used to, just like inflation. So we can't ride on the momentum of a church building alone. I mean, that's good, right? We can get excited about that. It creates some temporary enthusiasm. But real growth requires real sacrifice. It requires real engagement. You know, Cheryl and I finally got to planting out in our backyard, and we have a raised bed back there. So we planted some potted plants and then some seeds. And the potted plants, when we put them in there, they were almost ready to bloom. They were budding. They looked so nice. And the seeds, of course, we just stuck into the dirt, watered it all. And it didn't take long before the seeds popped up. They looked so good. They looked healthy and nourished. And the potted plants that we stuck in there, they actually started to wilt and looked like they were drying out. And so I realized that in the potted plants, you know, that although they were ready to bud, their roots were kind of caught up in a root ball, and the soil on top was drying out, and they weren't reaching down to get the water underneath. But the radishes that we planted, you know, their taproot went immediately straight down into the soil, into the moisture, into what it was needed, and they started growing and flourishing. They looked great. You know, for some of us who have been flourishing in ministry, possibly in the past, who our faith has been vibrant, we're recognizing that it's feeling a little bit like it's dried out. Maybe like our roots are tangled up in a ball. You know, if we have been somehow disconnected and haven't been able to re-engage, we probably feel like we're about ready to maybe give up or just pull back. I want to invite you, don't do it. Don't stop. Continue to move forward. The apostle says, let your root go down in Christ Jesus. We need this vigorous taproot of deep faith, and that's going to require of all of us effort. And it means for all of us some sacrifice. It means engaging in God's word. So if you're online today, that's great. You are getting some teaching that's going to help us to grow. Here's my encouragement to you, put that into practice. And maybe find a daily Bible study and then do it. And better yet, connect with somebody to do that together online each day. Or take a deeper step and join a group that meets each week. And this week, there's going to be two new women's groups that are starting up. I encourage you, as a woman, I encourage you to step in and join one of those groups. Hang in there, because the world needs you to follow Jesus. That was sneaky. And men's group, you know, we're still meeting every Saturday morning. Or the men are still meeting every Saturday morning. I haven't been as great of an attender. However, the men are meeting, and we encourage you to come to men's group. And if you are coming for the first time and you don't feel comfortable with that, then go ahead and reach out to one of the men in the church, and they'll gladly go with you. Reach out to me. I'll come with you, or find someone to be there with you. Adult Sunday School is meeting throughout the summer this year. We are committed to growing as we talk about the messages that we are sharing. And if you come to Sunday School, here's the benefit. You get to hear some of the stuff that doesn't get in the message. And so we want to encourage you to grow together, to hang in there, because the world needs you and I to keep growing as followers of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he said, let your roots grow down into him, let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness, even at $5 a gallon gas. We have some work to do. Let's hang in there. We're going to have to get used to some changes that are taking place, but we know what to do. If you've accepted Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, more than ever, keep following him. If you're not there yet, keep pursuing him. Consider trusting your life to Jesus and build this summer. So we do that by celebrating with those who are celebrating. There's so much good to celebrate. Godly things to celebrate. God is at work all around us. We want to celebrate and honor God, but also grieve with those who are grieving. Acknowledge the brokenness and pain in the world that we are experiencing, that others are experiencing. And let's not just pass it off with simple answers or blame, but do the real work of connection and naming the pain and grieving with people. Consider how to step into that in tangible ways. You know, raising money for refugees can help. Walking for water can help. Asking our teachers how they feel can make a difference. Asking how we can make our community safer for our children. Advocate for a safe church and for safe leaders. Engage in growing deep roots of faith as we build on Jesus. Get familiar with his teachings. And if you're already familiar with his teaching, then step into those uncomfortable places, even those disturbing areas of brokenness in our world, to teach others about the hope of Jesus. I'm taking time this week to listen to a black brother colleague in our Town and Country Commission to understand deeper what he is experiencing. So if we see a need in broken families, then join the Faith Safe Families team or Options for Women volunteer. If you know people who are isolated or vulnerable and leaning towards unbiblical ideologies, then reach out and engage them. Talk about uncomfortable. It's extremely uncomfortable and difficult, but begin to share the truth of Christ and what the Bible says about life together. We're building in this season, and anyone who has built or remodeled always says, it took more time than I planned, right? It cost more money than I expected. It was more work than I ever thought it would be. They've sacrificed more than they thought they would. Our son invited us to a campground over this Memorial Day weekend. So we decided that we're going to go on an overnight fun evening. Pretty easy to do. So we have an old pop-up camper that we had parked outside, and I figured it was time to pull it out, spruce it up, take off. It's the nice thing about a pop-up, right? Hook it up and go. Well, the tire was flat. So I decided to get the air tank to fill it up, but I couldn't find the air tank. So a day later, when I did find it, I brought it over, pumped up the tire, and as the air was going in, I could hear air coming out just as fast. I thought, okay, I can do this. I'll pump it up, drive fast, get to the driveway, fix it. But it didn't work. I got halfway over there, and it was the tire rolled off the rim. And, you know, of course, that made it down almost to the ground, so the jack underneath wouldn't pop out, so I couldn't jack it up. So I rigged up a 2x4 and a cinder block lever and got Cheryl over there to help me out and got the weight all figured out after a couple tries and finally lifted it up enough to get the jack down and crank it up and pulled the tire off. And, of course, the tire was shot. So $97 later with a new tire, drove it over into the driveway and got ready to really test. The real test was to see if anybody had hibernated over the winter inside the camper. Well, wonderfully, it didn't. So it's just going to be a nice summer day with the aroma of mothballs and mint. So we cranked it up. And, you know, when we got this camper, it was used and well-worn, needed some repair. So, of course, I thought I could do that on my own. I lifted it up, and the top fell over, and all the arms bent. So by the time I finally got it fixed up, it looks kind of like this. So somebody made some bars to brace it, so we got those on there, cranked them up, and opened it up and pulled everything out. And we got the camper boxes put in there. Put the bike rack on, screwed the broken license plate back on, put the new tabs in, and cranked it back down, all ready for travel, and all that, and we haven't even camped yet. We haven't made hotel reservations. However, Joe did call and say that the weather sounds like we're going to have severe storms tonight. You know, we're committed to a lot of things. Things that cost us often much more than we anticipated. Some of them fun, some of them enjoyable, most of them that we're willing to sacrifice for. But nothing is worth more than our faith. So we're in a building season. And it starts not on our church, but in our church, in each one of us. It starts right here in the heart. So the world needs you. The church needs you. Because you have Jesus, and the world needs Jesus. So let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Jesus is counting on His church to grow and reach the world around us. From Ukraine to Buffalo to Texas to our own communities, He gave His life so that those who follow Him would have a better future. The writer of Hebrews in 10 Verse 10, it says, God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Jesus said, come follow me. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. He puts a high value on kids. We need to do that too. Jesus shares a vision of a new heaven and a new earth with John in Revelation that includes every ethnicity, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Jesus makes no distinction of color in the kingdom of heaven. We need to not make distinctions. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the end of wars under the King of Kings and describes Jesus the Messiah as the Prince of Peace. We need to promote the Prince of Peace. Jesus has harsh words for the Pharisees and religious leaders who practice hypocrisy at the exclusion of those who are seeking to enter the kingdom of God. We need to call it out in safe places and safe churches. Jesus came to set us free. We carry a message of hope, and we need to be the first to grow deep in it and to walk by faith, even when things are difficult. The letter of Hebrews goes on to describe a whole list of people throughout the Bible in the early church who followed by faith, and yet they didn't receive all that God had promised. So they waited for what was to come by faith. They began in faith, they continued by faith, and even when they didn't see the full outcome, They died in faith, trusting that God would yet keep his promises. And they spur us on. So as we build our roots, as we grow deeper, as we question things that we've never questioned before, as we ponder, as we wonder what God is doing, and if all of this is worth it, and if we can really make a difference in our world as the church, we are being reminded by faith that God is fulfilling his promises in us. So we continue to walk by faith. When we don't know the near future, we have a confident outcome, holding firmly to what we believe. Because the writer reminds us that we come boldly to the throne of the gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We need it right now. Today we pause to remember. We take time to celebrate. We come alongside those who grieve, and we commit to patient endurance as we run with endurance the race God set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. No matter what comes our way, hang in there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. Please join. Lord God, there's much in the world to celebrate today, and we don't want to take away from that. And so we celebrate with our seniors, with our families. We celebrate, Lord, in the good things that are taking place in your hand of grace and love and mercy on us. We celebrate. Lord, we remember those who sacrificed everything so that we might have a future. And Lord, we grieve today. All the things that have mentioned that we've been watching and hearing, we grieve with those who grieve and cry out, Lord, help us. Help us in our time of need. Lord, as your church, help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to commit in the days and weeks and months and years ahead to the long and hard journey of following you. Lord, let us really count the cost and find you worthy, Lord, to pay the price. Lord, we are your church, and you have called us out in the world. Help us to be your church of love and truth and grace. And Lord, for any one of us today who are struggling in faith, who are wondering if it's worth it, Lord, remind us of the sacrifice you gave and the glory that is to come. Fill us with your spirit, fresh and new, and give us passion for those you have passion for. And Lord, if we don't yet know you, if there's anyone here today or watching online that has yet to put their faith in you, Jesus, I ask them to consider the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. To consider what he has done for you, to acknowledge your need for a Savior, and ask Jesus to set you free. If that's you today, then I invite you to pray a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Fill me with your life, with your Holy Spirit, that I may walk in your ways and follow you, Jesus, all my life and into all of eternity. I thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.